All right, so you sent in some excerpts, right? This is from Dr. Robert A. Peterson and his book, Johannine Theology.
That's right, yeah.
Session 20.
Uh-huh.
It's called Salvation Kept, Preservation, Salvation Already and Not Yet. Quite a mouthful. But we're going to dive deep.
Absolutely.
Into what John's gospel has to say about salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Specifically, kind of like how God keeps believers, you know?
That's a big one.
Secure, safe. And this idea that salvation is something we experience like now, but also we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, the now and the not yet. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to kind of like pull out the key insights, you know, make sense of it all.
Right.
Hopefully give you a clearer understanding, you know, of these pretty important aspects of...
It's rich material.
It is, yeah.
We're going to be looking at the comforting truth of God's preservation of those who believe.
Right.
And then that dynamic tension of salvation, you know, being both a present reality
right.
and a future hope. Which is, I mean, it's like, it's both, right?
Yeah.
It's a really cool concept. So maybe a good place to start is to actually just unpack that idea of being kept.
Yeah, okay.
And preserved by God.
Let's start there. So John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40.
Okay.
What's the core message there?
Yeah, well, first off, what's really striking in these verses is Jesus' absolute promise.
Okay.
He says that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out.
Whoa.
You know, so think about that for a second.
Yeah.
That's an unwavering acceptance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The key takeaway for you as you're listening is that this promise, it's so dependable. It's not conditional.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
It's a statement of intent from Jesus himself.
Like he's going to do this.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, and then it goes on to talk about the Father's will.
Uh-huh.
You know, that Jesus should lose nothing.
That's right.
Of what's been given to him. But like raise it up at the last day.
At the last day, yeah.
Okay, so it's not just about getting in, you know. It's about being
the whole thing.
Brought all the way through. Right.
Yeah.
So what's the implication there for like how secure someone's salvation is meant to be?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's not just a passive acceptance.
Okay.
It's an active commitment by Jesus
right.
to keep believers safe until the very end
yeah.
and culminating in resurrection.
Right. Right. Oh.
And so while obviously the whole Trinity is involved in our preservation,
yeah.
John really seems to emphasize the Son's active role here.
Okay.
Which I think, you know, for us, that underscores the thoroughness of God's plan.
Yeah.
Like from start to finish.
Yeah.
You're in his care.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's a powerful image. So moving into John 10, we've got the Good Shepherd analogy.
Right.
You know, verses 27 through 30.
Yes.
So how does that add to this whole idea of security?
Well, what I think is fascinating about this metaphor is how it illustrates, you know, a deeply personal bond.
Okay.
It's an unbreakable bond.
Okay.
Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I mean, right there, that's amazing. But what's crucial here is that eternal life isn't just about, you know, duration. It's this quality of life that inherently includes being kept safe.
Right.
And then to have Jesus say that no one can snatch you from his hand or the Father's hand because they're, you know, that they are one in this.
They're united.
Right. It's this divine work. It's the ultimate assurance. It's like being held in the strongest, most loving grip imaginable.
It's like, it's interesting how he like preempts the thought, well, maybe I could wriggle free. It's
yeah.
Like, no, they will never perish. So it's not just about an external force trying to take us.
Yes.
But even our own like potential failings aren't like the ultimate deciding factor.
That's right. And Dr. Peterson really emphasizes that point that, you know, our salvation isn't ultimately dependent on our own strength to hold on.
Oh, wow.
But on God's power to keep us.
Wow.
Which is, I mean, that's a profoundly comforting thought. The security rests in God's character, yeah. Not our own grip.
Not us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So Dr. Peterson next looks at like Jesus' prayer.
Uh-huh.
In John 17, this is like high priestly prayer, right?
Yes.
So what does this prayer reveal about the preservation of believers?
Well, John 17, I think, provides even more layers to this understanding. You know, in verses 11 and 12, Jesus prays to the Father to keep them in your name.
Hmm.
You know, signifying God's very being, his authority.
Wow.
He's asking for their protection and unity, you know, mirroring the oneness of the Father and the Son.
Wow.
And I think the key takeaway for you, listener, is that this security, it isn't just about individual safety.
Right.
It's also about the preservation of the community of believers.
Full body. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And then there's this tricky part about Judas, right?
Oh, yes.
Verse 12.
Yeah.
Not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. So how does Dr. Peterson, like, reconcile that with the idea that God keeps all believers?
Yeah, that's a really important point.
Yeah.
For clarity. Dr. Peterson argues, you know, following other theologians, that Judas, you know, was never genuinely regenerated.
Right.
Or saved.
Okay.
To begin with. And yeah, he points to John 12.
Right.
Where, you know, Judas is concerned about the expensive perfume. It wasn't really out of care for the poor.
Right.
Because he was a habitual thief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this consistent pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
Suggests his heart was never truly transformed.
Yeah. Okay.
And so his loss, it isn't a failure of God's promise to keep true believers.
Okay.
Rather, it highlights that the promise is for those who have truly been brought into God's family, you know, through faith.
Okay, so it's not like a contradiction, but it's more like...
Yeah, it's more like a clarification.
Of who the promise applies to.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Got it. Okay. And then the prayer continues, right? With Jesus asking for them to be kept from the evil one.
Yeah.
And to be with him in glory.
That's right. In verse 15, you know, Jesus prays for protection from the evil one.
Right.
Acknowledging these spiritual realities that we all face.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in verse 24... He expresses his deep longing for believers to be with him in glory.
Yeah.
You know, to see his glory.
Right.
And Dr. Peterson really underscores that, you know, this is Jesus' heartfelt desire.
Right.
And the Father, you know, he's gonna grant the Son's request.
Yeah.
And this just, it just reinforces this ultimate security and future hope. Yeah. For believers.
Yeah. Okay. So the overall picture, it's a picture of incredible security in God's hands.
It is.
So, okay, let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
And dive into this whole already and not yet concept of salvation. what does that term really even mean, you know, in this context? Yeah. Well, essentially, it describes this tension in the New Testament.
Yeah.
Where promises and realities of God's kingdom, they've begun to be fulfilled in the present age.
Okay.
That's the already.
Right.
But their complete and final realization is still in the future.
Okay.
That's the not yet.
Got it. So it's like we're experiencing it, but we're also waiting for it.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so Dr. Peterson uses this example of worship in John 4.
Yes.
How does that illustrate this already and not yet?
Yeah, well, when Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, you know, that the time is coming when worship won't be tied to specific locations,
right,
but it will be in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
You know, that's the already. And we see this shift actually in the early church,
yeah,
you know, in Acts, where worship becomes, you know, mobile and heart-centered.
Okay.
You know, however, the not yet,
right,
is this perfect, unhindered worship
that will characterize the, you know, the new heavens and the new earth.
Right.
You know, so our current worship, it's real, it's meaningful.
Yeah.
But it's still imperfect.
Right.
And awaits its ultimate expression.
It's like a genuine experience now, but
yeah,
but just like a
foretaste.
Yeah, a taste of something even more complete.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, what about resurrection? That feels like a very like future event.
Yes.
Where's the already in that?
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Well, Dr. Peterson points to John 5:24-29.
Okay.
And verse 24 talks about this present spiritual resurrection.
Okay.
You know, he says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life.
Wow.
This is the already. So, you know, when we believe, we experience this spiritual quickening, this transformation, mm-hmm, from spiritual death to life.
So that's the spiritual reality now?
Yes.
And then the not yet is the physical resurrection,
sure,
right?
Exactly. So those verses, you know, 28 and 29, they speak of a future time when all who are in their graves will be raised.
Right.
Some to life, others to condemnation.
Right.
And so we have this spiritual resurrection as a present reality for believers.
Right.
And then a future bodily resurrection awaiting everyone.
Okay, so... what about salvation and judgment themselves?
Yeah.
Do they also have this dual aspect?
Yes. According to Dr. Peterson's understanding of John 3:17-18, there's a sense in which salvation and judgment are present realities.
Okay.
You know, those who believe in Jesus are not condemned now,
right,
while those who don't believe are already under condemnation.
Okay.
However, the full weight of eternal life and final judgment is still a future reality.
Right.
The not yet.
Okay.
And John 12.25 also hints at this.
Okay.
Where it says, hating one's life in this world leads to keeping it for eternal life in the age to come, pointing to a future dimension of salvation.
Right. So it's like, it's real now, but it's also like a promise of this, of the fullness that awaits. Okay. So the second coming of Jesus, that's often thought of as like purely a future event.
Right. Right. Yeah.
How can there be an already aspect to that?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because while John 14.1-3, you know, clearly speaks of this future not yet, mm-hmm, Jesus could prepare a place and promising to return.
Yeah.
Verse 23 reveals the already.
Okay.
Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So the profound insight here is this. The present intimate fellowship of the Father and the Son with believers who love and obey Jesus.
Okay.
It's like a spiritual indwelling, mm-hmm, you know, a present reality of God, like making his home within us.
Wow. So while the physical return is in the future,
yes,
there's a very real sense in which God is present with believers right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, Dr. Peterson actually shares an anecdote here.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah. About his student, Stuart Cashman.
Okay.
Whose deep love for the Lord really exemplified this intimate fellowship.
Wow.
And he also mentioned Stuart's friendship with a Hindu man,
yeah,
you know, yeah, illustrating how this present relationship with God,
yeah,
can just overflow, you know, into love and connection with others.
Right.
So it highlights that this already of God's presence isn't just an abstract concept.
Yeah.
But a lived reality that impacts our lives and relationships.
Now?
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And like, it's not just theoretical.
No, it's not.
Right. Okay. Finally, let's touch on glorification.
Okay.
Our like ultimate transformation to be like Christ. Right. Surely that's all in the future.
Well, while the fullness of glorification certainly awaits us.
Yeah.
Dr. Peterson points to 2 Corinthians 3.18.
Okay.
And John 17.22 to show an already aspect. So 2 Corinthians 3.18 describes believers being progressively transformed, you know, into Christ's image.
Right.
From one degree of glory to another.
Right.
As we behold the Lord's glory through the Spirit.
So it's like, it's a process that's happening,
yes,
in our lives right now.
Yes. It's like a gradual polishing, I guess you could say.
Right.
Where we're becoming more and more like Jesus as we grow in our faith.
Okay. And what about John 17.22?
Yeah. So in his prayer, Jesus says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Wow.
And Dr. Peterson sees this as another present aspect of glorification.
Okay.
It's a sharing in God's glory that fosters unity among believers.
Okay.
Even amidst, you know, all of our imperfections.
Right.
However, John 17.24 then speaks of the not yet.
Right.
Jesus' desire for believers to be with him to see his glory, representing our final and complete glorification in the unveiled presence of the Father and the Son.
Right. Wow. Okay. So this whole already and not yet framework, it's really fascinating how it provides such a like rich.
It's nuanced.
Yeah. Nuanced understanding, yep, of salvation in John's gospel.
Yeah. It's not just a one-time event.
Right. And we have this incredible security and present reality in Christ. But then we're also like waiting, you know,
yeah,
we're eagerly looking forward.
Yes.
To the fullness of what's to come.
That's right. And Dr. Peterson's work really underscores both of those things.
Yeah.
You know, the comforting certainty of God's hold on us.
Right.
But then this dynamic nature of our salvation.
Yeah.
Which has these present implications, but also this future culmination.
So good. So for you listening, take a moment and consider how this whole understanding of salvation as something you have now and also something you're eagerly anticipating, you know, how might that reshape your perspective and your even just your daily life?
Yeah. How does that impact you?
Yeah. What does it mean to actively engage with the already of God's presence?
Yeah.
And his transforming work in you.
That's good.
Right? While at the same time, like holding on to that hope of the not yet.
Yeah.
The fullness of his kingdom.
Yeah.
Yet to be revealed, right?
That's good.
It's a powerful, powerful lens to view your journey of faith through. And we trust this this deep dive into Dr. Peterson's insights has given you, you know, some valuable food for thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Really good stuff.